close the intermezzo. So we continue now and we hear the Alice report by Elena Rogoshaya.
Листается клавиатурой. Тут я что-то не вижу кнопок в руке. Неважно, в общем, клавиатура. I present a report on activity of the General Ellis Group. Here you can see an outline of my talk. First, I will present the General Ellis Group and our main results published in 2019. Then I will describe our analysis, which we perform in our group, femtoscopic and ultraperiferal collision analysis. After that, I will present the thermal model of particle production in lead-lead, in proton-proton and nucleus-nucleus collisions, and briefly discuss the Ellis grid status. Then I will discuss the force detector upgrade status, and finally present lists of publications, conferences where the members of our group participated in, and other activities. And all these points will be summarized in conclusion, and plans for the near future will be presented. The General Ellis, the Ellis collaboration counts about 1,800 members from 176 institutes in 41 countries. The General Ellis Group consists of 11 physicists, including 3 PhD students, 1 undergraduate student, and 1 expert on the roots of TWER and grid computing management. Ellis is a heavy ion detector designed to study the physics of strongly interacting matter at extremely high energy densities. It has 18 different detectors, but here I will present only those detectors that we use in our analysis. They are following: time projection chamber and inner tracking system detector are used for tracking and vertical reconstructions in all our analysis, and muon spectrometer is used in the analysis of the ultraperiferal collisions of nuclei and protons with nucleus, in proton-lead collisions. For particle identification, we use the TPC and the time-of-flight detectors. We also use the Visuro detector. Visuro detector for centrality determination and as a Veto detector. And we use also the zero-degree colorimeter and the Ellis diffractive detectors in the analysis of ultra-peripheral collisions of nuclei. Let me start my review of our activity by presenting two papers published last year, which contain the results obtained by the members of our group. First paper is about the one-dimensional charged cairn femtoscopy analysis in proton-lead collisions at 5.02 TeV. These results are published for cairns for the first time in the world for asymmetrical collisions like proton-lead. And second paper is about coherent shape siamesan photo production at forward rapidity in ultra-peripheral collisions of lead-lead nuclei. And it should be noted that one of the results published in this paper for the coherent differential cross-section of shape siamesan photo production was also presented in a plenary talk at the QuAC-Meta last year, QuAC-Meta conference. First of our femtoscopic analysis that we perform in our group, presented here, will be the non-identical charged cairn correlations In lead-lead collisions at 2.76 TeV, performed mainly by Konstantin Mikhailov. Here and further, I will present each analysis by a person who mainly performs these analysis. So in this case, in case of K plus K minus correlations, we can describe these correlations by the correlation function, whose shape is mainly determined by Coulomb interactions at low pair relative momenta Q. Final state interactions between K and through A0 and F0 resonances, and also by Phi Mason production at higher Q invariant. We extract the size of the emitting source created in these collisions, fitting this correlation function by this formula, including final state interactions between kaons, which is described using the Lednitsky code, and also two parts describing the Phi Mason photo production, Phi Mason production, in the Lednitsky-Lubosch approach. P describes all non-femtoscopic effects which can influence correlations of kaons at higher Q invariant. Using this analysis, we can extract the radius of the emitting source created in collisions. And in the figure on the right, you can see this radius obtained for non-identical charged kaons in comparison with the result obtained for identical charged kaons. Using the parameters of the A0 resonance fixed from another femtoscopic analysis, we can obtain the parameters of F0 resonance, and the obtained value coincides with the particle data group value. If we assume, according to our theoretical understanding, that radii for K plus K minus and for identical kaons are equal to each other, in that case, we can also try to extract the information about fractions of directly produced Phi mesons and Phi mesons produced in final state interactions of kaons. And this is the advantage of this analysis, because this is the only analysis who allows to extract this information based on the Lednitsky-Lubosch approach. The presented results were reported at the GDRI and the VPCF conferences last year by Konstantin Mikhailov. Going to the next slide, you can see our preliminary results for identical charged kaon correlations in proton-proton collisions at certain TeV. The main feature of this analysis is that events are selected according to their transfer sphericity. Here you can see the correlation functions on these four figures, shown for jet-like events and spherical events, compared for pions and kaons. And as you can see from these figures, the baseline, the correlation function outside the femtopeak, is much flatter for spherical events. And like that, if we select these events, we can get rid of the baseline effect of non-femtoscopic effects. And like that, we can avoid model dependence of our results. Because usually to describe the baseline, we use a Monte Carlo model. But the problem is that Monte Carlo models, different Monte Carlo models, give us different description of the baseline. And so the obtained in our analysis results depend on this model description. But if we don't need any model to describe the baseline, in that case, we can describe, we can get model independent results. On the bottom figure, you can see the radii for pions and kaons for jet-like and spherical events. And from this comparison, you can see that the effect of sphericity is stronger for pions than for kaons. And these preliminary results were reported at CERN femtoscopy meetings by Ludmila Malinina. And the analysis is ongoing. Next slide presents our femtoscopic analysis of identical charged KN correlations in lead-lead collisions, mainly performed by Malinina and her student Gleb Romanenko. In this case, the shape of the correlation function is mainly determined by Coulomb interactions and quantum statistics effects. And since this analysis is three-dimensional, we can extract not only the size of the emitting source created in collisions, but also its shape. Here you can see in the figures the components of the radius shown depending on pair transverse momentum in three multiplicity and four KT beams. And as you can see, the radii decrease with increasing KT and for more peripheral collisions. And they are also compared to the calculations of the integrated hydrokinetic model. As you can see from the figures, the model calculations give the best description at the particleization temperature equal to 165 MeV, though this description is not perfect. So we plan to continue this study and to try to find better description. What is the advantage of this analysis? The advantage is that for lead-lead collisions at 5.02 TeV, we have much more experimental data than in previous run in lead-lead collisions at 2.76 TeV, published earlier. And in this case, we will be able to perform more detailed three-dimensional analysis. And in addition to that, we can also obtain radii in lead-lead collisions at low multiplicities and to compare them with proton-lead data, which will be done for the first time in the world if we do that. These results were presented by Gleb Romanenko at the Oslo Winter School in Norway last year. In fact, in the beginning of this year. And he also got a bachelor's degree based on these results. The analysis is ongoing. Does not go? Next slide presents our preliminary results on the three-dimensional analysis of identical KN correlations in proton-lead collisions at 5.02 TeV, performed mainly by me. In this case, what is interesting is to compare our results to pion results for pion correlations. And you can see the radii components compared, show it versus pair transverse mass on the top and pair transverse momentum on the bottom. What is the most interesting in this case is to see whether we have KT or MT scaling. So whether pion and KN radii are on the same curve depending on KT or MT. In this case, if we have MT scaling, according to our theoretical understanding, that would mean that Tomov result occurs simultaneously for pions and KNs. However, as you can see from the data, it's not clear yet whether we have MT or KT scaling. So we plan to continue this analysis and to precise our data. Another interesting result is our comparison with the IPES3 model calculations for KNs. They are shown here by solid lines. In this case, it is already clear that the IPES model does not describe the three-dimensional projections, the projections of the three-dimensional radius, though in one-dimensional case, this model gave a good description of experimental data. So that could mean that maybe this model needs to be revised. The results were reported at CERN femtoscopy meetings by me, and the analysis is ongoing. Next slide, and some slides after it, show our results in analysis of ultra-peripheral collisions on Rho0 meson photoproduction in lead-lead and proton-lead collisions at 5.02 TeV. On this slide, you can see the results obtained mainly by Valery Poznikov for the cross-section of rho zero coherent photoproduction as a function of rapidity, depending under different ZDC scenarios. Different ZDC scenarios mean different number of neutrons detected in the zero-degree calorimeter detector, and the number of these neutrons depend on how many neutrons are emitted by the nucleus irradiated by photon during photoproduction. Such a measurement for different ZDC scenarios in lead-lead collisions was performed for the first time in the world for this energy. As you can see from these figures, experimental results are also compared to several model predictions, and they agree with all of them within errors. This result is already prepared as a publication, as a paper, and the draft is at the moment under consideration in the ELIS collaboration at round one. The next slide shows our preliminary results obtained for rho zero meson photoproduction in proton-lead collisions, in ultra-peripheral proton-lead collisions, mainly performed by Valery Poznikov and Yulia Vertogradova. In this case, it is simpler to analyze this data than in the previous case, because here we have only photo production on a single proton, and this proton is not influenced by strong interactions with other nucleons when it is a part of a nucleus. This figure shows the exclusive rho zero meson photoproduction cross section as a function of the invariant proton-photon energy. Our results, shown here by green stars, complement the obtained the existing experimental data and other experiments are mentioned here. And these results were presented at CERN UPC meetings by Valery Poznikov, and the analysis is ongoing. Next slide shows our preliminary results on production of 4-pion coherent 4-pion state in lead-lead collisions at 5.02 TeV, mainly performed by Valery Poznikov and his student Boris Rumyantsev. The purpose of this study is to precise parameters of excited rho zero states, which are not well known, defined. They are not well defined, and the nature of these states is still an open question. There are already some published results. They were published by the STAR collaboration for coherent photoproduction of a resonance-like object with a mass around 1,540 MeV over C squared. And if you look at the figures here, shown here, we also observe the peak around the same value in the 4-pion invariant mass spectrum. However, we need to precise this result first, we need to take into account corrections for detector inefficiency and acceptance. This measurement, when finished, will extend the existing 4-pion photoproduction data to higher photon energies. They were reported by Boris Rumyantsev at CERN ultra-peripheral collision meetings, and the analysis is ongoing. Next slide shows our results obtained by our theoretician, Smart Krikoran, For the thermal model of particle production in proton-proton and nucleus-nucleus collision. And here in the figure, you can see the results obtained for the nuclear modification factor for this model in comparison with the ELIS and CMS data for pions, kaons, protons, and all charged particles. And as you can see from the figure, the description is quite good, and this model is a modification of the previous model created by the same author, describing proton-proton collisions only. The work is ongoing. This slide presents describes our grid activity, the grid activity of GINR. The main responsible of the GINR segment of the Russian ELIS grid is Gleb Stiforov. The ELIS grid counts about 128,000 cores installed in 68 centers, one tier zero level center, eight tier one level centers, and 59 tier two level centers. The GINR ELIS grid is a part of nine Russian ELIS grid centers, and here you can see its characteristics. The Russian segment contribution to the ELIS grid can be estimated by a number of finished jobs, and for the last year it equals to 5.27%. And in the figure on the right, you can see the general contribution to the Russian segment in the ELIS grid. It can be estimated by processing hours, and it equals to 38.72%. The report on the grid activity of GINR was done was given by Gleb Stiforov at the conference last year in Romania. This slide presents shortly our results, our status of the force detector upgrade. The main results obtained during previous investigations of various photodetectors like avalanche photodiodes and silicon photomultipliers show that the optimal characteristics can be achieved to the APD of 10 by 10 millimeter size. Here on the left you can see its photo. And the best, in this case, we can get the best energy and good time resolution at room temperatures. The comparison to other variants is shown in the figure on the right. And our plan for 2020 is to continue this work and to develop a sample on the 32-channel signal reading card for FOSS. This slide presents the list of applications where the results were obtained with the participation of members of our group, or whose results are based on the results obtained by members of our group. And in addition, we also add this paper on the new ELIS software, planned to be used in ELIS Central Services during the next run 3 of collecting data. This slide shows the list of conferences where the members of our group gave talks last year. As you can see, there were 5 talks at different conferences. And in addition to our regular duties, the members of our group also participate in other ELIS activities. And as you can see from this list, for example, Ludmila Malinina is at the moment one of the two ELIS femtogroup conveners. Me, I'm a member of two analysis review committees for two ELIS analysis, and I'm also a member of the inner review committee for one ELIS publication. Konstantin Mikhailov is a member of another ELIS paper, is a member of the IRC of another ELIS paper. Gleb Stiferov takes care of the ELIS computer cluster at LIT in Juneau. And the group also prepared three institute reviews on analysis of the ELIS done in ELIS in the ELIS collaboration on various topics. Summarizing all information I presented, it can be said that the generalist group carries out successfully various physics analysis of experimental data. The obtained results were presented at international conferences, and two of them were already published in peer-reviewed journals. One paper is under preparation at the moment, and another one is at round one of publication. The Russian computing segment contribution to the ELIS grid and the general contribution to RDIC increase. And we also continue to develop a sample of the 32-channel signal reading cut for the force detector. And in 2020 and in the near future, we plan to publish our results on Rho0 coherent photoproduction in ultra-peripheral lead-lead collisions at 5.02 TeV. And we also plan to start our work on preparation on the paper on one-dimensional K plus K minus correlation analysis in lead-lead collisions at 2.76 TeV, to continue our other femtoscopic analysis mentioned here, and also to proceed with our analysis of photoproduction, of Rho0 meson photoproduction in ultra-peripheral collisions. We also are going to proceed with support of the ELIS grid operation in the general computing system, and to continue with the upgrade of the force detector. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, I have one comment. At the last pack, when we said that we would like to have once per year a detailed report about the activities of each of the three LHC experiments, we also said that at this particular meeting we would like to hear a detailed plan of what the objectives and goals of the collaboration will of the GINR group will be for the next 4 years, and I didn't see much of that in your presentation.
You mean the detailed
you concentrated area? You concentrated your presentation in what has been done, but
and
we also requested to have a detailed plan with milestone of what you plan to do for the next 4 years. And this is addressed just in this half slide there.
Right. Okay, maybe I didn't understand it correctly.
Okay, that was my comment.
We were more concentrated to describe in detail that what we exactly do, every member of our group. So that's why I concentrate myself on this.
Yeah, this was part of the thing, what people do, but what are the plans so that we can somehow monitor the progress in the future.
But partially you can okay. Get the idea, right? Because I also mentioned that those analyses which are going to be proceeded. Partially it was said. Maybe not in detail, but partially it was mentioned.
Maybe I add a little bit, because in our project for four years, you can just see the detail of our activity for 4 years. But of course, because it was request mostly for the next years, and ordinary the summarization for the this years. And I think that Elena right, that of course that this plan, it will be ongoing on the other 3 years also.
Okay, any no other comment? I thank the speaker again. And we move now to the Atlas presentation by Evgeny Khramov.
Okay, I'll give a brief updates of the Atlas results, physics results during their second part of their last year. So just a very brief reminder about their collaboration. So the total number of the Atlas collaboration with the almost 8,500 people and almost 2,000 authors. And during the construction of the Atlas, GNR has participated in almost all subsystems of the detector. And so by now, during the round two, Atlas has managed to record almost 150 inverse centibars of the PP collision data. Total amount of their our members from the GNR is 140. This is information of up tomorrow. And we have, in principle, we have actually 44 active members that participate both in upgrade and physics, but in physics itself, we have 34 total amount of people. So by today, we have a small modification in the composition of our physics team. So we have three personalities from IT department and who moved to the NICA, and now they're working on their grid framework for NICA. It's Daniil Olenik and Petrosyan Artem, and also Yuri Stepanenko also moved to NICA just to look for more possibilities in the analysis. And also we have two newcomers, a young student from a master degree from Moscow Engineer Physics Institute, Cherepanova Elizaveta, and also Shilin Vadim, who is about to defend his PhD thesis by this summer, and after that, being a postdoc, he will join their analysis group. Okay, as I said already, we have two newcomers, and the total amount of our team is 35 now, with 6 professors, 13 postdocs, and 16 young scientists. So in principle, this team allows us to cover actually quite a wide range of the analysis groups. We do participate in almost all our working groups for physics, but also we have two persons from subgroup conveners. Also, we have one contact person for one of the physics group. And we also have a group that participates in the triggering performance, and so on and so forth, actually. Okay, I'm going to our maintenance and operation and our institutional commitments in collaboration. So in principle, we have two types of them, class first and class two. This is just this is our shifts in the control room. And here, as you can see, we during the 2019 year, we covered almost even more than it was requested, so more than 100%. And for the class 3 shift, that is actually, this is the detector maintenance and operation, and also participation in the software development. Here we managed to increase our, secure our commitments from 50% in 2018 to 90% this year. And this is mainly happened due to our efforts to create two rather large teams that participate in the grid data processes and analysis, and also in DEC high luminosity trigger control and configurations. Okay, going to the updates on the physics analysis itself, I'll be really brief here because we have quite a number of them. So in green, we show the result that by today finalized with some publication. In black, as analysis is ongoing, and in orange, it will be later shown, analysis that we expect some publication during this year, actually. And then in red here is their newcomers. So one of the postdoc is going to join their search for new physics in Drill Young and two jet proteases with a professor. And another student, master degree student now, she actually did her same studentship with the Zachary Marshall, and after that she participated in the long-lived supersymmetry analysis with their displaced vertices. And after her studentship, Zachary contacted us and asked to allow her to continue her work, because seems like her results are going to be published soon, and so we agreed on that, but I think later we will move here to another analysis to strengthen our other effort. Okay, and for the intrinsic charms and other analyses with their heavy IC and B quarks, those results are ongoing. Those analyses are ongoing, and we expect publications later there. But for their VHBB, BSM, VH gamma, quantum black holes, and search for WZ, measurement of the W and Z plus heavy flavors cross section. For those analyses, we expect publications this year. Main part of them we expect by the summer, actually, by Marion or LHCP. Also, there were the analyses almost actually ready for the publication, so BC2S, excited states, but it's appeared that the editorial board and the group conveners decided that it is better to strengthen this analysis with both channels in leptonic and hadronic decays, and also to perform analysis with the full RAM2 data. So that's why this analysis is postponed, I think, by this summer. This autumn we have our analysis and search for pentaquark states has finalized with conference note. This is not proceeding of the conference. This is just a standalone note. And after that, this group has started to analyze data of the RAM2 with 13 TeV and the full RAM data. Another team with the TTH and also in collaboration with their Czech Republic team, also it is extended with the TTW analysis, where one of the postdoc participates in both of them. Here work in progress, and one of the analyses for the TTH is there is no actually really clear estimation for the publication. That's why we placed here that they have a conf note and work in progress. For the ETH, of course, as you know, this analysis is really a long-term analysis, but we already started their preparation for it, and this is for round three. And mainly, I would say, the end of the round three data. But actually, right now, already exist three teams from Dubna Institute, from Rome, and from CERN. And so we are really very visible there. And also, there is the Bose-Einstein correlations measurements with the 2000, with the 13 TeV, with the full set of data. And here, so this analysis is about to be publicated really soon. So finally, by the end of the 2000, during the second part of the last year, we managed to publish one paper, three conference notes, and we expect by this year 6-7 more publications, and our participants took part in 5 different conferences with 5 different talks. Okay. And this is just a couple of slides of the details. So as you know, the pentaquark was discovered first by the LHCb in 2015, and it was announced only 2 pentaquarks, light and a little bit heavier. One of them, the heavier was thin, and the thick one is the lighter one. But last year, there was another update of the update of the results, and one of their this thin pentaquark has actually split it into 2 ones. So the resolution allowed this for LHCb, and they actually found one more pentaquark. But the problem is that they didn't see this really this pentaquark that they have seen before. So this is the reason, actually, this second paper was the reason that our pentaquark analysis was a little bit postponed, because we were need to cross-check both 2 pentaquarks idea and 4 pentaquarks idea. And this plot on the top right, you see that this is their fit results of the data for without any idea of the pentaquark, and the, on the bottom you see the with the 2 pentaquarks from the LHCb and 4 pentaquarks from the LHCb. So the outcome of their 7th and 8th TeV data with the 5 and 20 inverse lambda bar show that in principle, we cannot, Atlas isn't able actually to exclude no pentaquarks idea, but our results is also in compatibility with both 2 and 4 pentaquarks. So that's why actually our team is really right now is going to reanalyze the full run 2 data and really to perform really some more meaningless result. And this is just about the event indexing. This is not physics analysis, but our participation mainly in class 3 shifts. So the general idea is just to actually to make it much easier for physics analysis groups to find their files and the data that they need by the data they need using their indexing of the trigger mainly. So if you know what trigger do you need for your analysis, you can really pick up only those files that you need to use, and this is actually speed up their analysis itself, because as you know probably that the time for the analysis of the data and processing of the data and DMC is really time consuming. So this work is ongoing. These results provided us in 2019 a totally almost 2.5 FTE for the class 3 shifts. The results were presented in the conference. And right now, the next step is just we are trying to organize the Laboratory of Information Technologies, the server, with this, with all infrastructure of this framework, and just to speed up their development, our development efforts on the Dubna side. So conclusions and plans. So we can say that in principle, during the second half of this of the last year, we continued successfully participate in the physics program. We participate in almost all. Continue participate in almost all Atlas Physics working groups. We participate significantly in the detector upgrade. This is like off top, I would say. So we contribute, and we actually manage to secure our efforts and institutional commitments in both class 1, 3, and 2 shifts. And for the class 3 shifts, and actually here we expect, we would like to increase, so this 90%, I would say, this is a little bit dangerous anyway to not to cover if one of the person will leave, and we are going to increase here by one or two FT here, just with three, four more personalities in this effort. And also we are keep trying to strengthen our analysis activities. So, and as I said, we expect next year six or seven journal publications. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being on time. Comments? Yes.
Chandler has so many groups working. So isn't there an intellectual fun if you would ask your Alice people to look into the pentaquark or quantum black holes, because the phase space is much denser there, and for you it would be intellectual fun?
Well, I don't know about the Alice people, but I guess okay. I bet there Alice is already from such kind of analysis, but this analysis that is performed within the ATLAS, it's doesn't require really dense matter. Its outcome there is just a single lepton and single jet. So this is some specific model of the black holes. It's quantum black holes, of course. So it doesn't require. This analysis is performed on the PP collision even. It's not the lead or proton lead.
Maybe if I can comment on that. So, of course, you need a very large statistics to do that. It will be very interesting to do it in lead-lead collisions and heavy ion collisions, because that is a way of distinguishing between real pentaquark states and molecular states. But that is a plan which can be accomplished only by colliding lighter ions, and that is part of our plans for round 4 or even round 5.
Actually, as for the pentaquark, I would say that CMS is also should be really convenient for this analysis, because they have 4 tesla for the magnetic field, and their track reconstruction is really amazing. Especially they have quite recently inserted some kind of layer additional trackers system, right? Something like that during the upgrade, so it should be. But I don't know the current status, if there is any.
For round 4 again, yes. Huh? For round 4, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. No further questions or comments? Okay, thank you again very much. Now to the CMS presentation that will be given by Vadim Alexakhin.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My talk will be devoted to the general participation in the CMS experiment, TLHT. General topical plan contains 2 projects. It's project CMS itself, and the second is upgrade of the CMS detector. This is phase 1 upgrade, which should be finished this year. And for the upgrade, the new project is in preparation. The outline of my talk is the following. First, the physics results, then fulfillment of the obligations, of our obligations for various detector systems and service works, participation in the upgrade program, computing and data processing. Also, I would like to mention that PAC requested reports on achievements and activities. It is attached to the Indico page of this committee. Physics analysis plan is also included with milestones expected for the next years. The more complete plan of all activities will be presented after preparation of the phase 2 upgrade plan. It will be ready this year, presented later this year. Physics analysis, data processing. General activity consists of main fields of research. And first is search for the new physics, new gauge sets, sector, dark matter, searches, extra dimensions, all this in these diamonds and final states. Also tests of the standard model at the new energy scale, also using the muon pair as in the final state, the Drell-Young process. Studies of the processes with multiple jets in the final state, search for new physics such as black holes and signals beyond the Sender model, measurements of the multiplicity of quark gluon jets for studies of hadronization process and improvements of the particle density functions, studies of Higgs boson properties and searches of new scalar bosons beyond the standard model with the lepton decay channels. On total, general physicists contribute into 7 analyses, and 3 of them are subject of general responsibility. We are active in the working groups, such as for physics, it's exotica, Higgs and standard model analysis, for objects, physics objects, muon and jetmet, also for performance groups of HCAL and muon detectors. Film resources for the physics analysis contains 15 physicists from GNR and 4 from the Dubna member states. On total, it's 12 full-time equivalents from GNR and 3.5 from member states. Also, we have 10 young researchers from both from Dubna and member states. Publications for last year, it's in refereed journals, it's 5 publications, 3 as CMS finalized CMS analysis notes, 5 papers were published in the proceedings, 13 talks were given at international conferences, thesis defense, 1 master and 1 doctoral habilitation thesis, they were defended. The results are included in particle data group booklet. These are mostly limits for the new physics. A bit more detailed, the participation of different analyses and the results for last year. First is new physics with dilepton mass spectra. It was 2 journal paper and 2 analysis notes, differential Grell-Young cross-section. One paper, forward-backward asymmetry of Grell-Young lepton pairs, 2 conference papers and 1 analysis notes, angular coefficients of the Z boson decay. It's 1 conference paper, a search for new physics with high multiplicity jets, events with high multiplicity of jets. It's 1 conference paper, search for the Higgs decay to the BB bar, Higgs produced in the vector boson fusion. Its analysis ongoing. The studies of the quark gluon jets for the standard model is also analysis ongoing. Grell-Young radiative correction theoretical work, 1 journal paper, 1 conference paper, and development of algorithms for high momentum muon reconstruction and improvement of the heat reconstruction segment builder in muon chambers. It's 1 paper and 1 conference paper, 1 journal paper, 1 conference paper. This is extract of the plan for the next years. So it concerns the physics analysis. There are 10 topics. People which participate in this. This is 16 FTE per each year. And there are milestones for next years. Okay, so it's attached to the Indico page that can be studied in detail. Some brief reports on the physics results published or finalized or work in progress. It depends on their different status. These are published finalized results. This is search of narrow resonances in the dilepton dimuon spectrum. This is comparison of the dimuon spectrum of data to the Monte Carlo with various contributions from MC, the ratio, and mass limits on the new gauge bosons, Z prime, of 2 types. And these limits with present data are 4-5 TeV at 95% confidence level. The second analysis with dilepton in the final state, it's a check of the model of large extra dimensions with different limits for the parameters of these models. here one can see the improvement, the sizable improvement with respect to the limits which we obtained at ATV. Now, with part of the statistics at 13 TV, so there is increase of this limit. Test of standard model with dimuons. This is cross section of the dimuon per production versus effective mass of the muons. There is a comparison of data and calculation, fuse, NLO calculations, the ratio of data to theory. One can see that the standard model calculations are confirmed. This plot shows forward-backward asymmetry of the muons detected in the setup, and together with the Monte Carlo results from the Drell-Young process. So first, one can see that they agree these predictions from the Drell-Young process, and also it's not shown, but this result measured asymmetry coincides to the results with the result at 8TV, previous result. This is theoretical study. These are additive corrections. There is a code ready, which calculates cross sections and forward backward asymmetries, taking into account additive corrections. This plot shows asymmetry measured one and the predicted by ready using two PDF sets, and one of them have a better agreement than another one, so one can choose what is better describes the data. This plot shows prediction for the run-free for the 14 TV. This, again, the asymmetry and versus effective mass, the lepton pair. Searches for the new physics for the light Higgs. Here is the result of searches for the pseudoscalar Higgs decay to two pseudoscalars, which in turn decays to the muon pair and B bar. And this search is motivated by the two Higgs doublet models. What is plotted is data plotted versus effective mass of muon pair and the background. Best background fit. This plot shows the limit of the sigma of the cross section of the Higgs times branching of the Higgs decay to these new pseudoscalars and consequent decay to the muon and B bar. This value is plotted against the mass of the pseudoscalar. And one can see the confidence level, upper limit of this value goes from 5 to 33 femtobarn, depending on the mass of the pseudoscalar. What concerns the branching ratio of these processes, it was found to be from 1 to 7 tenths times 10 minus 4. Physics with jets. This starts from the standard model studies. First of all, it's a mean charged particle multiplicity in jets versus PT of the jet. There are data in Monte Carlo shown for different event classes with different number of events in the jet. These studies were done for the five jet samples and two channels, two beam energies for run one to run two. Okay, here one can see that reasonable agreement of the Metgraph PTS6 Monte Carlo, but if one looks for the fraction of the gluon jets, comparison of fraction of the gluon jets versus PT of the jet and compare data to Monte Carlo, then one can see that there is a suppression. Okay, so this is well advanced, should be finalized this year. Also, there is a search for the microscopic black holes, string balls, extra Higgs in the events with high jet multiplicity. And here there is a preparatory stage for the run three. There is an estimation of the performance, what we should expect at new energy. This is search of the Higgs to BB bar decay in the VBF process. This work was started recently, so the main achievement is to estimate backgrounds, achieve a good agreement between data in Monte Carlo, and here one can see the PT distribution of the leading and subleading B jet and data comparison with Monte Carlo with our sources of signal. One can see the good agreement achieved. So, hope to have a result next time maybe. Okay, this is software for data analysis and for reconstruction. There was a big publication on the performance of the muon system for 13 TV data, both for Monte Carlo and data. The reconstruction efficiency for the muons was estimated as a function of the pseudo rapidity for the data in Monte Carlo and the ratio between data and Monte Carlo estimation. For the trigger efficiency, two ways of estimation from the data and ratio data for Monte Carlo, estimation of the PT resolution as a function of the PT, it's better than 5% everywhere. There was also work on improvement on the reconstruction algorithm of the clustering of the track segment reconstruction in the CSC, in the muon chambers, and there is a comparison of standard algorithm and improved. This is the azimuthal angle resolution between improved and standard algorithm. It's in units, strip units, so-called. It's not radians. And this is this shows how it can work on the Monte Carlo, this new algorithm. So it's already standard has already high efficiency for the muon reconstruction. This mostly perfect on the Monte Carlo. So this will be studied, this work on this new algorithm. Computing and data processing, both tier 1 and tier 2 worked at 100% availability. Also, there is a remote operation center in GNR, so-called GNR CMS ROC. Tier 1 provides 15-20% of all CMS performance, depends on the number of CPU or number of events processed. For the tier two, it's from 50 to 28 of the whole capacity of the RDMS tier two. Again, depends on number of CPUs and number of processed events. The traffic of the data was very high, so 25 petabytes per year in each direction. So two tier one and from tier one, so both are similar. Gives a similar amount of data per year transfer. Okay, so some plans for the future, where we are now. So we are now in long shutdown 2. This will finalize the upgrade phase 1, and then we will have run 1 at increased energy, which one, I don't know, but higher than 13. And then we will have a long shutdown 3 for the high luminosity upgrade. So some status of this upgrade. During this year, we were at the status of long stop LS2, and GNR group participated in phase 1 upgrade of the hadron colorimeter. In particular, new SIPM electronics, readout electronics, was installed, but to install it, it was tested. Then installed, then commissioned, and this we are now in the stage of the commissioning. And I'd like to point out that Pavel Bunin has been appointed as HCAL technical coordinator for the next year, the CMS. Also, we have a applications to take part in operation, service works, and for each after we have a 4 months of such obligations, pledges, and for this year, we for the last year, the 95.5 FTE were accepted by the collaboration, which is 12% more than it was required, and overall 46 central sheets were taken. And there is a within various contribution of various projects in our pledges. Participation phase two upgrade. Phase two upgrade, that this means that we should go to the 5-7 times higher luminosity than nominal, and Autobahn statistics should be gained at the end. For some reason, for muon stations, it's the upgrade to already started, and this includes the upgrade of the readout electronics of all internal muon stations. So, on total, 188 chambers, CC. For muon one. Mimi 1-1, also there is an upgrade of the on-chamber cooling system. So this happens right now. This happened. Okay, there was also research and R&D work for the CMS and CAP calorimeter, new calorimeter HDCAL. So by our group, the prototype of the NCAP hadron calorimeter module was designed. It was designed and constructed. The structure of this module, it's scintillator module. It has a macro tile scintillator and a readout board with 6 CPM. And this is included in this module, which is rigid and bolted, so one can take it. Okay. This is a mock-up of the sector. I think it's the highest size. And there are two modules in place already, and there are places for different size modules. And in the center, it's a silicon part. Okay, also, this, the software was developed for the optimization of this structure. Also, was done. Addendum. Okay. During LS2, we participated in physics program. Papers were published, several works were done, R&D for the phase two, clear plans for participation in this analysis during round three were performed and presented. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any comments or questions? We are tired. Okay, if nothing, thank you very much. We have now the scientific report by Evgeny Kolomeitsev on pion at various stages of heavy ion collisions.
Okay. First of all, I would like to thank you for inviting me here to present little pieces which I choose, and I want to speak about pines because these particles are the particles we are most evident which we produce in heavy ion collisions. They are most abundant, you know, we measure them not easily but effectively, and we are always trying to learn something from pines. So I'll pick up from the vast world of pionic physics two topics, very particular one. In one, I want to show you that theoreticians can get pleasure digging the codes and the formulas, comparing different codes from each other. I want to show you that there is some warning messages which we have to take into account when we use these codes, when we use the theories to understand the data. And the second part is another pleasure of theoreticians, that they get inspired by experimental data, digest them, and then send back message that maybe additional interaction must be taken into account that we will see in the day, actually help us to understand the data. So these are, parts of the common efforts initiated at our laboratory theoretical physics to join efforts of many people to study theory of hadronic matter under extreme conditions. The idea is that we have to attack the problem from all possible sides, combining efforts of people working in lattice QCD, effective theories of QCD like functional matter normalization groups, also working with in pure terms of hadrons, hadronic interactions, and put this information in terms of hydrodynamic description of Hewitt collisions and also in transport kinetic description of Hewitt collisions. The aim is general to see maybe we can predict something or learn something about how the properties of hadron changes in Hewitt collisions, what new physics, what new phases are created. Although we know roughly the general evolution of matter in the collision, which starts with colliding nucleus. Here is some string dynamics and the partitionization when we go to the mass fundamental degrees of freedom. Then there is some thermalization, collective behavior. Presumably there is some kind of phase transition between from 1 degree of freedom, say partons, to the hadrons. And then there is something called freeze out, where and finally, they also then detection, the efficiencies and all these questions. And each of these interface, in principle, there are always some parameters which must be adjusted. And the aim, basically, of our group, to somehow try to understand all these parameters from the common physical background. Yeah. So the first topic will be pines in hydrodynamics and viscosity. So this is the interval of the collisions which I will discuss. Why people use hydrodynamics? Because in these degrees of freedom, this is integral theory. We don't distinguish particles. We don't distinguish interactions. There is one piece of matter. The most efficient way to describe phase transitions, which actually we sometimes want to see direct evidence. In these degrees of freedom, it's easy to describe flows. Particle production, just elementary, is more complicated to do. So the only one thing which we need here is the equation of state in which we can describe phase transition. To describe it in terms of elementary particle-particle collision is very complicated because they don't know in which phase they are. So hydrodynamics, it's very simple in its basics, but very complicated in realization sometimes. It's just the conservation laws of energy, momentum, and some quantum numbers which must be conserved, like baryonic numbers. If you have something, produce something else, you have to conserve strangeness, or isospin, or charm, or whatever. So we stick only with baryons. If we assume that particle, the ideal hydrodynamics, then the energy momentum tensor has a very simple structure. In local rest frame, it's just diagonal. Energy density in pressure tensor. The flow is given by the density and the four velocity, which plays the role of effective degrees of freedom, epsilon n. And we have the set of differential equation, which is derived from here. And to close them, we only need the dependence of pressure on energy density and particle density, which is nothing else we call the equation of state, and all this complicated interaction is coded here. So there are code in-house developed here by so-called three fluid hydrodynamics, although it's ideal hydrodynamics, but effectively it takes into account interaction between different fluids, because it's not one fluid, not two fluids, it's three fluids. So there is colliding nuclei, and there is the fireball intermediate. And because of this interaction, there is some effects of viscosity, described in this way. Actually, this quote is very, very successful description of variety of collisions from SIS energies up to top SPS. If you want to take into account dissipation properties, then the structure of these tensors and the current becomes more complicated. We have extra terms here called bulk viscosity, shear viscosity, and diffusion. Diffusion is clear is that we can transfer quantum numbers of baryons between neighboring fluids. Shear viscosity is that we can interchange momentum between two fluids which moves with different velocity. And bulk viscosity that the fluid or tensor or the energy density reacts that I want to expand or compress the fluid element. So if I will stay only with shared viscosity tensor, like this one, then my equation of motions will get these extra terms. You see there is a gradient here. This d is basically time derivative. This is just special derivative, and here this extra derivative terms. In principle, one can consider this extra degrees of freedom, for which I don't have extra equation. So well, there is two ways. I can just write some differential equation with some unknown coefficients. It will be my effective theory of hydrodynamics, but I don't know these coefficients. I cannot calculate them. In principle, theoretically, quotation mark, I can measure them in some experiments, but it's complicated. And then it can go from one experiment to another. So the people, of course, say, but we can calculate them. For this, we know underlying theories, there is a particle interact. We can use kinetic equation, which is written in terms of some distribution functions of particle in phase space. And then, to get back to hydrodynamics, I have to coarse-grain this equation, assuming that I'm not very far away from local equilibrium. This is F0, this is standard Bose of Fermi distributions. And this is correction terms, which can be complicated, but we always assume that this is small compared to this term. And then I can do expansion. Then I can derive some theory. In the first order, this so-called Navier-Stokes limit, I will get that this tensor, new tensor of Shiva's cost, is completely determined by my distribution of velocities. Very nice. We can use this problem that we want, if you want to do relativistic calculations and we dare about the causality, if we put these terms here, we get the system differential equation which allow a causal propagation of the excitations. Problem that was realized many years ago and was understood that we go to the second order. This is called Israel-Stewart theories. Here we see now P mu nu becomes extra degrees of freedom. There is extra equation for this, which is relaxation type of equation. So if we start with some initial values for this tensor, it will be relaxed to this Navier-Stokes tensor. And the relaxation time parameter, this new one, in principle, can be calculated from the same interaction which is hidden in this collision term of kinetic equation, together with this shear viscosity number. Okay, so this is what people standardly use. And here is basically the list of all codes using viscous hydro. So it's starting roughly 10 years ago. There is not many of them, actually. All of these, the last one, which was in-house development over the last years by Andrei Farastukin, Vyacheslav Taneev. So all these codes use various calculation schemes in the sense of different coordinates, different algorithms, various initialization. Because initial condition usually started with some transport calculations of the very first very hard collisions. Various freeze-out conditions. So there is one question to this. Do we have to control viscous, that the viscous effect which are behind all these codes remains perturbative? Because again, all our theories, if I want to use the physical or some calculable parameters of my hydro, I have to think about this one. So of course the people worried about this. The evidently, if we going to freeze out stage, if everybody use Cooper-Fire formula, where is some integral over phase space with Fermi distribution. If I take into account viscous term, there is correction because viscosity comes from the correction of the distribution function. And here it comes. Evidently, this term must be smaller than this one. And the people control. There is typically no problem. Okay, maximally, it can be two. Okay, not of the same size. So correction on this level. Nobody worry about this. The problem is what's going on inside in hydrodynamical stage, because we're solving differential equation on the lattice, there is always finite steps in the time and in the coordinates. So we always have some errors which are accumulated. And because this this viscous effect are directly coupled to these gradients, they can be promoted. Also, if you match with some transport code, the initial stage can be already very highly viscose, non-trivial, non-ideal. So already can start with the situation that P mu is larger than ideal tensor. So what the people do to control the calculations on flight, we introduce a measure, which is ratio, somehow must reproduce the measure of the shear stress tensor to the ideal angular momentum tensor. Determine some number. And then they say that this number must be smaller than some parameter, which must be smaller than one. And if Q on flight and given cell becomes larger, then they just a little bit rescale this viscous term. It's not a big problem. It can be done very gently so that all of all fluctuation of energy density is not more than 0.5%. The question is how one defines this measure. And this turns to be important. So that Andrei and Slava try to do. So they define it very strictly way. So they build up from two tensors the ratios element by element and look for the largest one and say the largest ratio must be smaller than one. So here is the result of description of lead-lead collision at 40 HeV. This is comparison when in a 49 data. This will be my benchmark test. The standard setup, the choice and the restriction is that this ratio for in each cell must be smaller than 1/3, number smaller than one. So one can get easily proton distribution, and we see there is sensitivity to the viscose parameter. It's increased a little bit by production, but not enough to describe the data. So weak dependence on eta s. Why it comes? Actually, this dependence on eta s is small because we have exactly restricted that my p-mu tensor cannot be non-perturbative. If I let my c be larger than 1, for example, 4, then the effect of playing with eta over s becomes huge, dramatic sensitivity. Okay, it's clear, okay, we have to live with this if you want to use perturbative nature of hydrodynamics and use some condition. Now we look at another codes. There's another two famous codes. We use slightly another definition of these ratios of two tensors. In this code, they choose the maximal value in one tensor and divide by maximal value in another tensor and use this one. Music, they compare these two invariants of the tensor. And we see the solid line is our result with this our definition of the so-called S strict condition, and this is too new. The difference is huge. So that means these two codes use the such constraint that actually not very strong. They don't guarantee that the your hydrodynamics which you run runs indeed in perturbative regime. Again, you can always say, I trust my exact equation of hydrodynamics. I will solve them as they want. But now the parameters which are inside, you cannot trust that they derive from your kinetic equation. Why the viscosity plays this role? So we look inside, for example, the central cell and see how the temperature evolves with the time if we use different constraints. And we see that if we use not very restrictive constraints, the temperature inside becomes larger and the evolution becomes longer. Moreover, number of cells which temperature is larger than freeze-out temperature increases if you run the codes with weaker condition. The two effect that the amount of the volume which will be hot and will be freeze out and produce spines become larger if we let the code runs with not constrained, very constrained condition. Okay, so finally, if we work and try to adjust our parameters, the best what we can get with our condition is this nice description of protons, but we clearly have underestimation of number of pines, which other codes otherwise getting by increasing the of eta over s. They get this number due to the shear viscosity. If we let less conditions, for example, run with imperturbative regime, of course we can get number of pines, but we have some problems with protons. So there is a tension between ability of the codes to reproduce proton spin probability distribution. I think it's important messages if you want to learn indeed about the values of viscosity of comparison with these numbers. Okay. Conclusion to this part. So using viscous hydro, we need a good control of viscous effect throughout the whole hydro evolution. And we need some theories which allow us to derive parameters of hydrodynamics in the same way as we define equation of state. We need also basic control of initial state of hydro matching with transport codes. Now we shift in evolution time to this later stage. Again, I will speak about pines, and we know the pines is abundant, and the question is if we can see some coherence in the pines. This is some nickname for more stronger, nice expression, Bose-Einstein condensate. So why it's people getting interested for this? Because we know that dealing with bosons, at fixed temperature, we can put in the thermal states only fixed number of bosons. If we put more than this, there is no place there. They must go somewhere, go in the ground state. And we put more and more in these ground states, we have a macroscopic number of bosons, and then what miracle happens, that the phases becomes locked, and we have one big macroscopic wave function. And this function was indeed observed in the realization with cold atomic nuclei. And this is a relation between critical temperature and the density. Everything can be measured in the Compton wavelengths of the particles, so it's varied for all type of bosons. Blue line is this reproduction of this formula, and we have studied this part of the diagrams where non-relativistic limit exists. Already in the 60s, the people asked, what about this side? Can we use this formula to understand relativistic BEC? It was for a long time quite academic study, which was done in application to some problems related to the initial universe or the standard model with the Higgs particles like Jokapust did. Question, can it be accessed in some experiment? Where to look for this? Central mid-repeated region of Higgs, there is maximal of pines. Why the pine enhanced system can be created? Because kinematical separation of Harry baryon component, QGP hydronization, you can create resonances, resonances decays, you have a dense pine rich system. The main question, why suddenly the particle number of pines must be conserved? The problem is in the following. To keep the pine system in the thermal equilibrium, you need these reactions, two and two. In typical thermalization time is one Fermi, very fast. But to change the number of pines, two pines and four. So clearly you cannot produce more, and also back reaction is also suppressed exponentially. So equilibration time calculates theoretically 100 times larger. So the picture can be the following. So we start somewhere here, and some moment when temperature drops down, we can switch off this reaction, so there is no adjustment in the number of pines, additional resonances decay, and the chemical potential of pines decreases with temperature. So overall time here is 15-20. Fermi, so in principle, these reactions are fast enough to keep everything in thermal control. The question is, can mu reach critical value? So we have some quantum regime, and what are possible signals of this? Immediately when the first SPS data appears, and it was seen this little enhancement in low PT, the people say this low enhancement we can fit with chemical potential, which is quite large. Then there was discussion how many resonances should contribute here and how to calculate the rates. And this, there is a lot of work done by Frankfurt group. So conclusion, effect of quantum statistics can be important. Now let's look in the data. This is the result of statistic hydronization model by Jan Rafelski. Here is the chemical potential for various collision from SPS to RIC. As it comes from, we see that chemical potential of pines becomes dangerously close to pi mass. So of course it's not larger here, it's just the error bars here a little bit over. LHC is even more evident. So this is description of PT spectra now, because in Rafelski calculation, this is a description of ratios. PT spectra, this is a number that they needed. This is just 80 keV away from the bare mass of pi zero meson. So it is 8 mass. So very close. So idea that we can have some indications that can create a BC in pine gas and heavy iron collisions started in 1994-93 at GSI when Dmitry Voskresensky, Udo Ornik developed the approaches, and there is interesting consequences of possibility of BS. For example, the additional emission of soft photons was predicted. The signals for approaching BC, as was discussed by Begun and Marie Gorenstein, that the fluctuation, the particle number, will become anomalously large. Interestingly, there is experimental data, this SVD2 collaboration, which also our in-house group, they studied proton-proton collision at 50 GeV. An average in these collisions, there is 5 pi minus mesons produced. But what the experimentalists did, they said, let's select events where it's not 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 38 pions produced. And within each of these classes, they looked for the different events for the fluctuation of numbers of pi zeros. What we observed the enhancement. If you go to high multiplicity, pi multiplicity classes, the relative fluctuation, isospin, becomes larger and larger. This is experimental statement. If BC is produced, then what we expect, okay, the pions, they form some kind of big wave function, which is very difficult to destroy because it's just a macroscopic object. We would expect the suppression of multi-pion correlations. These are the data of Ellis collaboration, 14. There is a statement, the observed suppression of low triplet, three pions momentum corresponds to coherent fraction of charged pion emission at the level of 23%. It's a statement there is coherent source of pions because they see suppression of three pion correlation compared to two pion correlations. If we indeed have some pion condensate and enhancement at the low PT, we should see this in PT spectra. This is an attempt to fit in pion condensate in PT spectra, this enhancement. Okay, the data allowed up to 5% of condensate. Okay. What is necessary at this parameter, we take the densities of pions are quite large, so interaction has to be taken into account. What we did, we say, let us take very simple phi to the 4 model. We use the Hartree approximation, important non-perturbative approach, because this internal line, again, is addressed. So we have this effective mass, which is now becomes chemical potential and temperature dependent. Then because of interaction, if I fix the density of pions and go to low temperature, then my effective pion mass will be increased, and at some moment, it will meet the new chemical potential, and this instability point will be created. What happens in this instability point? If we calculate the variance, normalized variance of particle number fluctuation, I can do it just by calculation, the derivative of the number of particles with respect to chemical potentials, which is for free case is this well-known expression, there is 2 times distribution function averaged over momentum. And if I approach the critical point when my chemical potential goes to m pi, the pole develops, 1 over k squared. 1 over k squared is integrable because with d3k. So this is a finite number of particles. But the second moment, the variances, there will be here double pole, and this becomes divergent. So this is well known, and this was the prediction or the source of the prediction of Begun and Gorenstein. But if we take into account the interaction, what happens? That additionally to this term, the Pierce term, which comes from dependence of the effective mass on the chemical potential. And if I add up everything and expand it critical temperature, what I will get, that the number is not infinite but finite, and there is 1 over lambda. It's non-perturbative result. I can never get in perturbation theory. I have to do some kind of self-consistent calculation. If I compare now this big formula with the data, there are some data in a 49 about the pi, they measure the average pi, number of pi n squared. So one can calculate this variance, these blue points. And I took this my formula and take values of chemical potentials as I showed you before. This is SPS data, this largest one. If I calculate using only this formula without interaction, I will get this one, which is in principle also in the ballpark of 2.5. But in interaction, taking into account, in principle, is important. We see to understand the experimental data, we have to take interaction into account. Skip this one, can introduce also more interesting observable, not only the variation of total number of particles, charge fluctuation, or the fluctuation which is measured by SVD collaboration, this charge versus neutral pions. And all of them have different behavior at critical temperature, but fluctuation of particle number and fluctuation of this G parameter isospin variation becomes finite. Interestingly, the charge fluctuations feel no interaction at all. Although I did all my long calculations, including interaction, at the end, the lambda parameter falls out from the fluctuation of the charge because my interaction was a spin symmetric. It doesn't discriminate P plus and P minus. So this will be increased. Of course, if I take into account Coulomb effect, also these fluctuations will be finite. So, but if we compare dependence of these quantities as a function of temperature for fixed various densities for pions and different interaction parameter, what I see that always the fluctuation of the charge will be larger than fluctuation of number of particles. So it would be interestingly to study in more details. Final conclusions, I want to move fast. So first statement, the pion-enriched gas can be created in heavy ion collisions. And the number of pions is approximately fixed in the final stage of collisions. So in this case, in principle, we have also experimental hints, not evidences, just hints that we can be close to some quantum regime or even to coherent regime. And if we really want to study through the fluctuation, we must take into account interaction into account because I show it's factor of two at least or three, dependent on the strength of interaction. And there is interesting hierarchy of different variances, particle numbers, the isospin splitting, and the charge. So we need dedicated analysis for multi-pion events and also control over such things like impact parameters, multiplicities, centralities, because all these parameters can fluctuate and contribute to the fluctuation of finite number of pions. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions or? Yes, Hans.
In the 90s and 80s, we had the discussion in hydrodynamics whether we need several fluids. Because if you have the pi zeros, for instance, they are behaving differently than the charged pions. So where are we here 2020 in that field?
We still with one, in majority cases, with one fluid. Okay. With one fluid, no isospin. So in the codes, in the theories, of course, one can look. So the three fluid dynamics, which I was advocating, is just still the way how one can introduce non-equilibrium effect because each cell in the code is a superposition of three cells, which can have different temperatures and they interact with each other. But this is not what you wanted because you wanted explicit isospin currents, isospin flows. This is not yet even, because it's complicated. And I would say for a moment, the experimental input or the some pushing is not so strong because the people not so much discussed the difference between pi plus and pi zeros. All the difference are reduced to Coulomb. If you have something more, for example, really in momentum or the phase space distribution of this particle will be completely different, that would be very interesting. But I would expect that this will be at lower energies. We still have matter, nucleon matter, because they will then distinguish protons and neutrons or everything what is related to the some isospin currents of nucleons, because then the pions will feel different, really different difference.
Okay, Jean?
Okay, in the first part of your talk, did you also use a chemical potential for the hydrodynamics?
No.
In the,
only for nucleons, of course.
Okay, in the second part of your talk, you started by motivating a chemical potential by looking at the transverse momentum distribution.
And particle number ratios.
Yes, but that is, the transverse momentum distribution is not a Boltzmann distribution, it's a polynomial, it's a power distribution.
It's exponent plus something.
Only if you go to very low PT. And also, I guess you use the Florkowski. Yeah, this one.
This one, yes.
But that uses a lot of resonances, I guess, yeah? That's not just pions, that also includes resonance decays.
Yeah, but this is the number which we quoted is a number, is chemical potential of pions. So everything is, the rest is included. The same is like Rafelski model. They quote this gamma Q, the number,
yes,
which is the
No. I guess the Florkowski uses resonances, but Rafelski does not use resonances. Yeah. Okay.
In Scheer, there are resonances.
Sorry?
In Scheer, and they quote Scheer with this Giorgio made. It's the same.
That's Rafelski, yes.
Yes, Rafelski.
But that, this one? No, this is Florkowski.
This is Florkowski and this gamma Q, and I think this is, they also called chemical non-equilibrium model, and they for sure use resonances also additionally. But the key point that this statistical hybridization means they have one freeze-out. They say, we don't care about the evolution. We make freeze-out directly from the QGP. That's why they need this. They can introduce gamma S and gamma Q.
But it would mean...
And I will interpret this gamma S and gamma Q is the fugacities which we otherwise will generate kinetically. One can calculate gamma S in kinetic theory, how much strangeness is produced. The same as the pions.
But Ellis has now measured that to much larger values of PT. And I would guess it goes completely wrong there.
Large value?
20 GeV, 30
GeV. Yeah, but 20 GeV, why you should, we should use the thermal model? It's clear, it's hard probes, it's hard processes. Are they definitively not exponential? They really can do 1 over 1 plus Q squared at some power.
Okay. We can discuss it later. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fu-Chien.
In both Einstein Conner said in like a cold atom experiment, so when they form Bose-Einstein-Condorcet set, and then they let it expand, they observe this anisotropic expansion just like a flow.
Yes.
Like a V2.
V2, this is with Fermi, the transition between hydro and
But in their condensed matter, you know, cold atom experiment, they form this, so it's a single quantum state.
Yeah.
And the anisotropic flow, like V2 type of expansion, is due to quantum mechanics, quantum physics, not the interactions. So if we, in our collisions, form BEC from pions, and we also have hydrodynamics expansion, now this V2 from these two physics, I would expect to be very different. So in terms of, you know, PT dependence or whatever, can you do a prediction of of this, and experimentally we can check?
No, I will do no predictions, because it's really ice is very, very, very thin, because we have already arguments that maybe something is not like I wanted in my talk, so good. But the point is that even if something is created, like we know Centauri event, something which coherence. It could be very small, very local, and if I average in each of the events, it will be different. So different rotation, different position. So it can be really, you will not, in the flow, it will be averaged away. So in this attempt to fit in just is not evidence, it just showed that would be nothing in contradiction with PT distribution if I increase low PT with some extra source. What would be important maybe these femtoscopic things, HBT, this correlation side, to study this one in much more details and the PT distribution of this. If we do HBT together with, it's known problem to describe the source parameter, HBT and particle ratios together. So this would be additional twist on these problems, which could be addressed.
Okay, Richard, one last question.
And just a comment. So you should separate the Bose-Einstein condensate and coherent pion system. These are different things. So the Bose-Einstein condensate appears for very dense pion gas, yes? But there is no coherence. The coherence appears, for example, in this correlation function, yeah, when you have a dropping intercept in inclusive correlation
this
function.
This is lambda parameter.
Yes. While in the case of Bose-Einstein condensate, in inclusive correlation function, you have no drop of this lambda parameter. So this is, and you have also different multiplicity okay distributions.
So so here is an important thing. The Bose, if we have just particle, you put particle in one state, macroscopic amount. So it's not yet condensate. The condensate is important, that's this effect of locking phases. Is it can be only because of very, very small interaction. In ideal case, it will be so-called fragmented condensate where phase of this state everywhere is different. The idea of B, C, so that it behaves like one wave function, is that phase everywhere is the same of all these atoms. That's why I use the word, I say that B, C, in my understanding, it's important that you form coherent state. What you say is probably that I misinterpret yes this data, because coherence, actually, later stage, is explicitly quoted BC, Bose-Einstein condensate. In the last page of this paper, we can see that which corresponds to formation of kind of BC in the condensate. But as you say, this coherence is this 1 plus lambda exponent parameter, that lambda becomes smaller. So what you say that if I just created the particles, which on one level, and not correlate them, of course, it will not lead to suppression of lambda. But it's known that BC is interesting only because you create coherent state. Otherwise, it's just particles.
Okay, I think we should thank our speaker again.
Thank you.
Okay, our last item of business in the agenda is the written reports on projects approved for completion in 2019, Borexino and Panda. If anyone has any question related to those written reports, we discuss them. Eh? They should be on the Indico. So, no comments, no questions. So, then we accept those written reports. And now we have the poster presentation in the other room. So you all got, I guess, your piece of paper with the list of posters. And you have to select three of them. And you give a grade of 3 for the best one, 2 for the second best, and 1 for the third place. And once you have your grades done, please give them to Alexander. And at 7 we have dinner. Yeah.
Yes.
Seven. Yes.
Yes.
You're seven.